to the passage that was read just a few moments ago from Acts chapter 4. From Acts chapter 4, we had just one verse read, that was verse number 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It is significant to know that when you spend time with Jesus, it affects you in positive and predictable ways. One of the dire needs of the church in our time, in this society, is for more Christians to spend more serious time with Jesus. When we look at this particular passage, we note some things about two specific disciples, Peter and John, and how being with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, had a significant impact on their lives. Husbands need to spend more time with Jesus. Wives need to spend more time with Jesus. Preachers need to spend more time with Jesus. Deacons need to spend more time with Jesus. Christians in general need to spend more time with Jesus. Mothers and fathers need to spend more time with Jesus. That's what I call, and I'm going to go back to our text in a moment, but a fourfold function of the church and of Christians. And in order for this fourfold functioning of God's people to operate at a maximum level, it is necessary for us to spend time with Jesus. Now, you're probably asking yourself, what is that fourfold function of God's people that can be properly activated and properly motivated by spending special quality time with Jesus? The fourfold function is this. The first function is for us to grow. For us to grow. God expects children physically to grow. And God has designed the human body in such a fashion as to necessitate and require growth. It's a part of the natural process, although there are certain prerequisites that must be met in order for commensurate growth to take place. In order for us to grow from infancy on up to adulthood, as we go from infancy to childhood and adolescence and young adulthood and on to middle adulthood and finally to old age. But God has designed and structured our bodies and our lives so as to facilitate physical growth and, of course, growth in other ways as well. Jesus, as we learn in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, when he went back home and was subject to his mother and father in the city of Nazareth, he experienced a fourfold growth. He increased in wisdom and knowledge and in stature and in favor with God and man. He grew physically, intellectually. He also grew socially and spiritually. God expects us to grow as his people. And in the process of time, he expects us to grow. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. He gives a clear, unequivocal mandate for spiritual growth. He simply says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Paul condemned a lack of growth in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, when he says, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So we see that, again, God requires us to grow as his people. We also get an idea of the kind of growth that God requires. Turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. We find that two kinds of growth here of God's people are referenced. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Those decrees were drawn up at the council that convened in Acts chapter 15. And I want you to notice verse number 5 and the growth that is indicated. The Bible says, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So were the churches established in the faith, that spiritual growth, and increased in number daily. That's numerical growth, and God expects both kinds of growth. The Bible lets us know that in order for us to grow, we must be fed spiritually, but also in order for us to grow, it is necessary for us to exercise ourselves unto godliness, according to 1 Timothy chapter 4. But as we look at the fourfold functioning of God's people, grow is one, but the other is as we grow, or in order to grow, and as we grow, and it's a reciprocating cycle. We are to go. Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So he says that we are to go. And in the process of going, as we go, we are to make disciples. And when we make disciples, when we baptize persons in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we are to teach them to observe all things that he has commanded us to do. And of course, this is something that is something that must be done continuously. So if we are to grow, we have to go. If we are to grow, we not only have to go, but we also have to sow. You know, Jesus speaks in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 and explaining the parable of the sower. He explains that the seed is the word of God. A lot of folks have already planted seeds. They put seeds out in their vegetable gardens. Some have planted seeds or sent out plants in their flower garden. And they recognize that in order to have some beautiful flowers, in order to have some delectable vegetables, it is necessary to do some sowing. So in order for us to have proper food, it is necessary that somebody will sow. You know, you can't get strawberries at Kroger's and potatoes and grapes at Kroger. And peas and beans and peppers without somebody doing some sowing. In order for life to be sustained, there must be sowing. And in order for the church to be sustained, and in order for the church to experience growth, there must be some sowing. So there has to be growing by virtue of our going and by virtue of our sowing. But there's another function that needs to evidence itself in our lives, and that is the fourth and last one, the glowing. Growing, going, sowing, and glowing. Now, consider Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Jesus said, with reference to this fourth function, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candlestick and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm simply affirming that the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we will grow, the more we will go, the more we will sow, and the more we will glow. Doesn't that make sense? If you want to grow more, spend more time with Jesus. If you want to go more, spend more time with Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save the lost. So if you want to go more, spend more time with Jesus. If you want to sow more, spend more time with Jesus. If you want to glow more, spend more time with Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. So all of us need to exercise or exemplify these four functions as the people of God. Now, go back with me to Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. And we want to read again and then make several other points. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Peter and John were on trial before the Sanhedrin council because they had been preaching Christ Acts chapter 4 and verse 2. While the disciples were on trial, the Sanhedrin made some astute observations about the disciples. They observed at least three things. They observed, first of all, their courage. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. These two disciples would not cower before the Sanhedrin. This really bothered these leaders because intimidation was one of their most effective methods of controlling people and shutting people up. You see, they didn't have the waterboarding concept that is used by military interrogators. They simply threatened and sought to intimidate those to whom they were opposed. They did not need facts to keep people in line. They simply intimidated them. This is often the way evil men work, even in our world, in our society today. But this intimidation did not work with Peter and John. The greatest courage is always displayed when men stand for Jesus Christ. Living for Christ is not a weakling's game, as some think. Living for Christ is not for weaklings or sissies. To stand up for Jesus requires courage. To stand up for Jesus requires boldness. Rather, it takes great boldness to live a consistent life for Jesus. It takes great boldness to withstand the forces of peer pressure brought to bear against the young and the old. And the time could very well come in this country, and if trends continue, the time will come when you'll have to take a stand for Jesus, and you will either stand with boldness and courage, or you will denounce your faith and slink away in cowardice. The Bible lets us know that yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I was talking to some brothers recently who do mission work and sponsor mission work in Nigeria. Depending upon whether you're in the northern part of Nigeria or the southern part of Nigeria, as a Christian, you are in danger. Your life is in peril. And I heard of a congregation of God's people that was bombed and numerous lives were lost. The bombing was perpetrated by the Muslims, the Islamists. They perpetrated that dastardly act of violence against the members of the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So for them to assemble together and to worship God under those circumstances, they were placing their lives on the line, and indeed their lives were taken because around 20 people, if my information is correct, were destroyed, were killed in that bombing. And things have intensified in certain parts of Nigeria. But I am caused to think about the courage that was demonstrated on the part of Peter and John. The Bible says the authorities saw their boldness. Not only that they observed their boldness or their courage, but they also observed their commonness. The record says here in verse 13 as well, when they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, the words unlearned and ignorant do not mean that Peter and John were a couple of dummies, but it means that they were not educated in the recognized religious schools of the Jews. Thus, they were considered just commoners who were not supposed to be knowledgeable in religious matters. But Peter and John had demonstrated considerable skill and knowledge before the council. This bothered the Sanhedrin, for it showed them up. They did not like the followers of Christ to show such wisdom in religious affairs and did not think they could. So they marveled, they wondered at the way the apostles handled themselves, being just ordinary common men. You don't have to have an advanced degree in order to understand the Word of God. You don't have to have attended a theological seminary in order to have a wonderful and powerful knowledge of the Word of God by spending time every day in your Bible. You can gain knowledge and gain skill in utilizing the knowledge of God's Word. Then finally, we see in this particular passage that the authorities not only observed the apostles' courage and their commonness, but they also observed their companionship. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. People can tell what you are. If you are devoted to Christ, you do not have to carry a big Bible with you or wear a Jesus t-shirt or bumper sticker. People will see it by your manners. People will see it by your morals. People will see it by your moods. People will see it by how you handle your money. People will be able to detect if you belong to Jesus. People can determine if you are his child. People can determine if you have spent time with Jesus. If you've spent time with Jesus, it makes you a sweeter wife and a more thoughtful husband. If you spend time with Jesus, it makes you a more caring father and a more sensitive mother. If you spend time with Jesus, it makes you a better employee. If you spend time with Jesus, it makes you a better employer. If you spend time with Jesus, it makes you a better citizen. If you spend time with Jesus, it makes you a better personal worker. If you spend time with Jesus, it makes you a better person overall. If you have not spent very much time with Jesus, or if you don't spend very much time with Jesus, it will show in your life. If we spend time with Jesus, then we tend to want to be and we tend to develop and become more and more like Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we tend to become more like him. Now, we spend time with Jesus when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in Bible study, that we spend more time with Jesus when we spend time living out the reality of the principles and concepts of Jesus in our lives every day. Remember, the members of the council took knowledge of the disciples. They marveled, they observed their courage, their commonness, and their companionship. I trust that the same thing can be said with reference to you and with reference to me as children of God. Remember also, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more we will grow, the more we will go, the more we will sow, and the more we will glow. If you are here and need to respond to the Lord's invitation, if you have a special request, if you want to solicit your brothers and sisters' prayers on your behalf, we trust you will have the willingness to make that known. If you have fallen by the wayside or if you've lapsed into a state of unfaithfulness, need to be restored, we pray that you will do that as well. If you are here and need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to do it even right now as we together stand and as we sing.
Page 98. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence day.